Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Welcome to this edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and I am delighted to share this time with you today and excited to introduce you to a special guest as we share some content that I really believe is going to broaden our horizon for the work of the Lord. Let me begin today, though, with a few questions that have come in to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and you can send those to qa@lancasterbaptist.org, and I'm always happy to try to answer these questions. And the first one today came from a pastor who really had an interesting thought, and that was that he enjoys taking a day off, but sometimes feels guilty about taking a day off. And I kind of chuckled when I saw the question because I felt guilty for many years about taking a day off. I've gotten over it. I just struggle to find the time that I sometimes need for that day off. But let me just encourage you with this thought. Jesus gave us a Sabbath day, a day of rest. The Lord instituted that himself. And if the seventh day is meant as a day of rest, then you've got to find that time and take it for yourself. There are seasons when, in my life and schedule, I may go a couple of weeks without a day off, but I'll try to take two then following that. My wife and I might get out of town and away from phones. Just let me encourage you, as surely as you would set a day for your a special program at the school or something for the ministry, that you would schedule the day off and keep it. I'll tell you the best way to really make the most of the day off, and this is hard, but turn off your phone. Turn off your social media and just give attention to the Lord, to your family, to the things that you feel you need to do for that day. So let me encourage you not to feel guilt about a day off and to realize that even then, you are doing something very godly and God-ordained. The second question is interesting. It's from a 32-year-old pastoral candidate who is recently candidating and awaiting word with respect to the call. And the question was, Pastor Chappell, what would be a couple of books that you would recommend if I received the call to this pastorate? That's a really tough question for me, but I'm going to give two or three. First, I would recommend Criswell's Guidebook for Pastors. W.A. Criswell was an amazing pastor. He took the First Baptist Church of Dallas from around 3,000-4,000 to the largest church at one point in the world. But he was an amazing administrator. He had great convictions about his walk with the Lord. And I feel you'd learn a lot from Criswell's Guidebook for Pastors. If you want to go back 100 years before that, I'd recommend Spurgeon's Lectures to My Students. Now, there's some issues in the book that you'll find interesting. I do not advocate smoking a pipe to warm your lungs for preaching, all right? Just in case someone wants to ask about that. But setting aside a few of the quirky things of the day, Spurgeon's advice to young pastors on study, on dealing with people, amazing and timeless. And I've always enjoyed reading that book. I would encourage the book Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders, fantastic resource. And finally, the book that God allowed me to write several years ago on spiritual leadership. It deals with a lot of pastoral leadership issues. And so there's four. I hope they'll be a blessing to you as you begin this new ministry. Finally, one other question. And this question is simply, what do you do when leaders in your church have lost their passion for souls? That's something that happens. We can get into a routine with church and ministry and just kind of doing the ministry, but not really passionately looking for the lost. A couple of things I would encourage. Number one, take that leader with you on soul winning. Just ask them to go with you and try to plan a good visit and pray for fruit. That's something that often encourages someone for many weeks to follow. Secondly, let me encourage you to preach messages on soul winning. There's a lot of great things that happen in hearts with the preached word of God. Thirdly, I would encourage you to have a season or two where you have testimonies in your church by someone that was saved through the soul winning outreach of your church. And just to remind people, it still works, and God blesses soul winning. So those are a few ideas I hope will help you. just to spark that soul-winning passion within the church. Today, I'm delighted to welcome to my study a dear friend, Brother Niranjan Sundaraj, and it took me a few days to pronounce the name properly, but Brother Niranjan is from Sydney, Australia, and a man with a great heart for God, a great heart for souls, and I'm excited for you to meet him, and we're excited to talk today about the 1040 window. Welcome. Delighted to have you here.
Thank you, Pastor. Looking forward to that.
Amen. And Brother Niranjan, if you wouldn't mind, just as we begin, maybe just take a moment and share with our friends today a little bit about where you're from and how you came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for having me on the program. Well, I was originally from Sri Lanka, and it was at the age of 18 that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And as a young man, that was all I was asked to do. There was nobody to instruct me in terms of, you know, whatever else I needed to. Having come from a nominal Christian home and an Anglican church environment, I went back to reading my Bible and trying to do the best I can. And all that was important at that stage was the fact that I was saved, and if I died, I would go to heaven, and I'd taken care of that. But thereafter, I focused, my life's focus was on being successful as a Christian young person, and that's what I set out to do. That was just basically how I got started.
And of course, God used a tragedy in your life to get your attention and to bring you to full surrender. And why don't you share a little bit about that as well?
Great question. You know, as I mentioned, I was quite a satisfied Christian. I didn't know too much about soul winning. Nobody had really talked to me about that. There was a missionary in Sri Lanka at that point who had just started talking about it, and I didn't quite understand. Being in the corporate world, I was country manager for American Express at that time, and I didn't kind of fancy the thought of having to go out on a Saturday and stand in a street corner and give out tracts to people, and I was quite embarrassed to do that at that stage because I really didn't understand what it was all about. But it was in 1996, 31st of January to be exact, the country was going through a civil war, and there were a couple of men that decided to drive a truck loaded with explosives into a building which was right across the road from the American Express building, which was the central bank. And that bomb not only blew up the central bank, but blew up all of the buildings on that street. There were a few thousands that were injured that day, and I was quite seriously injured. Spent a significant amount of time in hospital in Sri Lanka, then in Singapore, flown out there, and then to a hospital in the States. But it was during that time that God began working in my heart. Amen. And I realized at that age, when I thought life was all about being successful, I realized for this first time that, you know, our lives could be snatched up away from us just in a moment. And God used that time in the hospital just to get my attention and get my focus and help me realize how selfish I had been, that whilst I was assured about my own salvation, I didn't care about anybody else, not even my parents. And that began the journey with regards to what God started doing in my heart to sensitize my own life with regards to how I need to share the gospel with others.
Amen. And thank God that He has used you. And just as a side note, before we talk about the 1040 window and Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia, your own son, Soren, who's a graduate, of course, of West Coast Baptist College, has just begun his missions work in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And he was there just a few days ago when the bombs blasted again, this time Islamic terrorism. But if you could just give us a quick note about what happened there and how your son is doing and how we can pray for Sri Lanka.
Thank you for asking, Pastor. Yes, he is in Sri Lanka, and the country has been an extremely peaceful place since the end of the civil war over the last 10 years. But on that Easter Sunday, again, a group of militants decided to carry out a series of attacks, 8 attacks, in fact, 6 of them actually exploded around the same time, 3 at some tourist hotels and the 3 in Christian churches. And it's just completely changed the landscape in the country to a point where today there is fear. People aren't going to church because there's rumors of other attacks that are to happen. So as you think about Sri Lanka and you pray, that would be, I'm sure they would appreciate your prayers, just asking that God would build a wall of protection around the churches there. But in addition to that, there is also a tenderness in the hearts of people, just a readiness to listen, and that God would also give wisdom and boldness to those that are there. We've got 9 churches in Sri Lanka at the moment, that there would be open doors of opportunity. We've also got a ministry to a Pakistani group of people that are religious refugees in the country. And again, that God would use this opportunity not only to keep them safe, but to also continue to open doors of opportunity.
Amen.
What's interesting, Pastor, is I was speaking to a missionary in Bangladesh yesterday, and what happened in Sri Lanka has also caused that increased security and also fear for some of the smaller churches in some of these Muslim countries. So just appreciate prayer for the region in general.
Absolutely. And we're praying for Soren in particular as he's getting established there in the missions work, that God will give him boldness. And I know he will. Now, as God began to advance your career and as you became vice president throughout the Asian region for American Express, I know that that burden for souls began to expand. And maybe for friends that are from Asia or who have traveled to the 1040 window, just tell us a little bit about where God began to take you and what you began to see and the burden that began to grow.
So God just began initially giving me a burden for my own family and the people of Sri Lanka. But as my role with American Express changed to include responsibilities all across the South Asian region, and I had opportunity to travel from every country in that region, from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Maldives. God just began it through those visits just to kind of increase. It just allowed me to see that part of the world, but allowed me to see that part of the world through a different set of eyes.
Amen.
Because as I traveled through those countries, irrespective of the fact whether it was a country that was predominantly Hindu or Muslim, you just saw just the lost condition of people. You saw the idolatry all around, and you just saw people just worshiping fervently, just something that they've been taught because they didn't know any better. Did that for about 4 years. Then in 2004, God once again just moved us as a family to Singapore and took on other responsibilities for other parts of Asia. And just that burden through what I saw, Pastor Chappell, just continued to grow. And it didn't matter whether somebody was from China and came from a country where they didn't think that there was a God, or somebody was from a Buddhist country or from Cambodia or Vietnam or a Muslim state. Mm-hmm. You know, just that lostness that you saw all across the region. And that's the one thing that, continued to, impact me as I was traveling through, just the masses of people, the lost condition of people, the idolatry that was all around, and the poverty that existed.
Yes.
And God just used that in my own life just to increase that burden for that region.
I remember when we met back, I don't know if it was 15 years, maybe 20 years ago in Sydney, and we were seated at a home of another Christian businessman, and we began to talk about missions. And it was just as if the Lord just knit our hearts together. I grew up on a mission field. I have a great burden for missions, and I could see your burden. And what a blessing it was as the Lord allowed your children to come to the college. We began to cultivate that relationship. I remember talking with you one day about some of the conferences we had done and about some of the vision that you had. And God let us work together on that first spiritual leadership conference together with us on this end, and now having a strategic partner on that end. And the first one we did together was in Singapore.
That's great.
And then we've done 2 now in Manila, which is really hard to believe when you think about that. And a gigantic one coming up in 2020. But Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia has developed into, first of all, a biannual meeting where at the last meeting, representatives from 49 countries participated. We gathered in Manila. We had around 7,000 in the evening services, hundreds and hundreds of pastors. God did some great things. But besides the biannual meeting, we're expanding now to have annual meetings in various corners of the 1040 window. And in addition to that, beginning to raise funds for national pastors, going primarily from the Philippines right at this point into Cambodia, Vietnam, and different places. And so we're excited about what God is doing. And I'd like you to share from your perspective a little bit about Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia and its development and some of the vision.
As you think about Asia, and as you think about what was needed in that region, you see a region with over 4.5 billion people. Mm-hmm. And just that number is just a staggering number. And the question, and Pastor, you know, we've been praying about this for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we take accountability for this, our time, mm-hmm. that all of those people would be able to hear the gospel?
Amen.
And so you think about that, you think about the need for laborers. And that's why I love what you do here at West Coast. Mm-hmm. That's what this place is all about. It's about training laborers
Amen.
For the harvest.
Amen.
But that is a significant need in that region. The second is that as you look at the region, you know, you go through country after country, you've got multiplied millions of people. Again, talking to that missionary in Bangladesh, you have a country of over 160 million people. And there are four missionaries that you know of that can actually reach. It just blows your mind.
Amazing.
And so not only is there a need for laborers, but you've got these four families there. And I look at them as though they're just men that are in the trenches, you know, fighting in the front lines of battle.
Yeah.
And so as we looked at the needs and talked to these pastors and missionaries, one of the biggest needs was just to encourage them that That's they right. would have somebody that could come along their side and just hold them up, lift them up, just, you know, allow them to come apart for a little while and rest so that they can go back with a renewed burden mm-hmm. and a renewed vision for that place. So Spiritual Leadership Asia was just clearly, you know, just started off to address that need.
To be a blessing.
To be able to yeah. be a blessing, exactly. Yeah. To be able to bring them and give them the opportunity to come along, to come into an environment that's very similar to where they're mm-hmm. working, and then, you know, come under some good
Amen.
Godly preaching. And that's where you've just brought some tremendous preachers along.
Amen.
One, to be able to preach. And we've just structured those morning meetings mm-hmm. around as a time of personal revival. We've had the whole afternoon taken up just as training, you know,
yeah.
you know, training and equipping them.
Yeah.
And then the evening services just focused on missions and you know, revival, as we think about that region. So it's been a tremendous blessing. And I want to thank you, Pastor Chappell, for, you know, making that happen.
Well, the Lord's been in the middle of it. And thank you for what you've done. And we owe a great debt to the pastors in the Philippines for the last few years, bringing choirs together and picking people up from the airport to have so many countries represented. I remember as we read off the countries that were present last time, and as you read India and Pakistan, and we read, you know, Korea and Japan, countries that historically haven't gotten along in the secular
sure.
sense, but to see, you know, 25 from India and 40 from Pakistan mm-hmm. and so many from Korea and Japan, and then to hear them sing How Great Thou Art,
yeah.
probably one of the biggest highlights of my entire life was just singing with the people from Spiritual Leadership Asia. And so the conference, as you said, it's a blessing through the preaching, practical sessions on soul winning, church planting, sermon development, and then just the fellowship that takes place there. One of the things that you've done that really added, I feel, to the last conference was the businessmen section. And we met a day ahead of time with Christian businessmen. We know there are many closed access countries. We know there are many ways that we have to be creative mm-hmm. to reach the entire world. And I just felt to get the businessmen involved, encourage them, and it encouraged some of the missionaries. So maybe you could just mention a little bit about the aspect of businessmen's gathering at the Spiritual Leadership Asia.
Sure. So Roundtable Asia was a time where we invited Christian businessmen to come along. And again, the purpose of that specific session was one that through preaching, that they would be sensitized to, you know, what it is that God's given them.
Right.
And that they would look at their businesses as not something that they own, but something that God's given them to
Amen.
Steward.
Amen.
The second was we brought missionaries along and, you know, across Asia and had them actually sit with, you know, had the businessmen sit with the missionaries and get to understand what it is like in each of these countries
mm-hmm.
so that they got a better grasp of what was the ground reality And in asking questions, you know, businessmen tend to think about things a little differently. To a missionary. And it was just wonderful to have them sit around a table mm-hmm. and think about how do you actually kind of go about and, you know, just support the work of the ministry right. in these specific countries. And so it was valuable, one, to be challenged through the preaching of God's word. It was secondly, just also just a valuable time to have them hear firsthand of what's happening across some of these countries. Right. And then we recently had a couple of businessmen that we took on a mission trip, mm-hmm. Pastor, so that this time they were able to go to the country that they had talked about.
Amen.
And then be able to see firsthand and just be able to kind of allow their eyes to see what they had heard about during the conference.
Their eyes affect their heart.
That's right.
You know, I want to just pause here to say that if you're a pastor or a Christian businessman with a heart for missions, this year at the Spiritual Leadership Conference here in Lancaster, which is the first full week of June, we have a wonderful group of sessions, but we're going to have one general session that features the Spiritual Leadership Asia Conference. And Brother Naranjan, Dr. Kevin Folger, Dwight Tomlinson, and myself will host that roundtable discussion. And a big part of the discussion is how can we get more pastors involved in 1040 window missions. And we're going to be inviting pastors and Christian businessmen to join us in Asia in March of 2020. And if you're interested in understanding more about this vision, I want to invite you to join us here in Lancaster in June. Naranjan will be here. Glad to have a cup of coffee with you, talk with you about some of the hot spots right now, spiritually speaking, places where God is just really opening doors. And so we're going to be having a great amount of information and registration opportunities. In fact, will take place at the Lancaster Conference for the Manila Conference in 2020. If you would, Brother Naranjan, talk for just a moment about what we have seen with respect to the movement of missions from Asia to Asia. I mean, I'm pouring my life into training missionaries from the States, as you know. We'll see another 200 graduates this month from West Coast Baptist College in or out in the harvest field. Many of them are going to missions. We're excited about that. But there's something special happening from Korea and Japan and the Philippines into other Asian countries and really around the world. Maybe share a few thoughts on what we see there.
Pastor, I'm currently actually writing a paper on that very subject, and I've titled it Behind Enemy Lines.
Good, good.
But what's happening is that I think it's just an exciting time for us to just be a part of, you know, what's happening around global missions.
Amen.
And specifically as we think about Asia, because we are seeing a transition. We're seeing, you know, it is becoming harder for somebody from the West to get into some of these countries mm-hmm. because the doors are getting tight, you
right.
know, the doors are closing. And it's but what's exciting is that at the same time, God's calling missionaries from Asia. In fact, at the moment, there are 183 missionaries that have gone through the Asian Baptist Clearinghouse from the Philippines across the Asian
right.
region.
Amen.
And God's calling other missionaries from Korea, from Cambodia, from Vietnam to either reach their own or go to some of those neighboring countries. And that's exciting. We're also seeing a lot more focus around national pastors mm. that are being trained to go out into the corners of the world. So there's an urgency in doing that. But as we see this change that's taking place, there are some challenges also that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that whilst God's calling these men to go, some of these countries that they're coming out are not the wealthiest countries in the world.
Right, right.
So there are men that are ready to go, families that are ready to go, yeah. but they don't have the resources they need, mm-hmm. whether it is to support their move personally from a, you know, in terms of personal support or to support the work of the ministry.
Right.
And that's where I think we're seeing this change, and we're looking at how we, through Spiritual Leadership Asia, can have a part in that, because there are many churches right. that want to be involved in this.
Right.
And you know, us being able to set up a verification or a vetting process by country
right.
would allow us to be able to then bring those two groups together.
Absolutely.
And support that.
Well, you know, I've served for 25 years on the board of directors for BIMI. We support 240 missionaries from different local churches and missions organizations, but most missions organizations here in the States do not take national pastors from other countries and national missionaries and allow them to raise funds here in the States. And there's probably some wisdom in that. There's some discussion going on about the policies and such. But meanwhile, the world needs the gospel. And what we have found is that there are plenty of nationals in these countries that are solidly grounded doctrinally. They're Baptist, they have a heart for souls. And we're partnering with seasoned missionaries and pastors in Asia who are helping us to identify these young missionaries. And now through Spiritual Leadership Asia, we want to encourage them with conferences and financial support. And as that support is designated, we're gonna be directing that to these partners in Asia. And we're excited about seeing the gospel really go forward. And I would just simply say that the 1040 window, sometimes we think of countries that maybe are dominated by Islam and there's some difficulty. I think of China, sometimes it's an up and down there with freedom and then the lack of freedom. But the truth is, in every one of these countries, there are people that need the gospel. And not only that, the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. And even as you were able, by the grace of God, to lead a young couple to Christ on the way over here, I think you said from Sydney, but the Lord had obviously been preparing their hearts. Mm-hmm. And we just want to be a part of this last day's harvest. You know, we can complain about the culture in the U.S. all day long. It's challenging. People are many times gospel hardened or not aware of the gospel at all. But there's a whole world that needs the gospel. And so while we're reaching our own Jerusalem, let's remember Acts 1:8 and the call of God upon our lives. Spiritual Leadership Conference Asia is a mechanism whereby we can gather together with other like-minded Baptist people to further the gospel of Jesus Christ into this needy area. And 49 countries were represented in 2018, and we're excited to see who God brings together in 2020. And I really want to ask you to pray with us that God would give a great, great harvest of souls. Right now, we're asking for pastors from the States who would like to join with us to begin registering. You can do that at the website listed below or at Spiritual Leadership Conference here in Lancaster. Every pastor that attends with us will be given an opportunity to preach on Sunday in an evangelistic service in somewhere in Asia, mostly in the Philippines, but some other countries as well. We're also going to have several dozen youth rallies. And so some pastors, maybe some of the younger pastors, will preach in youth rallies. Our goal is to come into Spiritual Leadership Asia on Monday evening, rejoicing at thousands of souls having been saved. So it's evangelistic, and then it's edifying throughout the week of the conference. And if you're interested, we encourage you to contact us to pray. I'm just so thankful that God took an explosion and then an amazing career with American Express and combined all of that experience to bring you to the point where you are today, training leaders, encouraging national pastors, and working with us here stateside to bring people together. Naranjan, thank you for being a vessel used by the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor.
And it's our prayer that God will just continue to use our joint efforts to get the gospel out. Is there a final word you'd like to say to our friends about SLC Asia?
Well, I'd like to encourage as many of you to register and come. God's just doing an amazing work in that part of the world. And come and see, we just, you know, the last night of the conference, we saw 140 men surrender to the work of the ministry.
Amen.
You know, we can organize great conferences, but only God can actually challenge us.
Right.
And we saw the Spirit, you know, God working in a marvelous way. Pastor, I'd like to finish off with a story. I was just recently in Sri Lanka and had the opportunity to visit some of the tea plantation areas. And on day two, we were sitting at the hotel, about 7 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the rest to come along. And there was a young lady that was walking around who was working at the hotel. And I just looked up and just got into a conversation. She was a university graduate, just in the hotel for just a short space of time. And I asked her the question. I said, you know, have you heard of Christianity? She said, no, I haven't, but I've been to a church once. I asked her, have you heard of Jesus Christ? And she paused and she said, you know, I really would like to, but I have no one to ask. And what she said, Pastor Chappell, just broke my heart, because I was almost caught up in my busyness that I didn't have take the time to. And then she just her the countenance on her face changed. She said, "Do you know? Can you tell me?" Wow. And I just started telling her about sin and talking to her about the gospel. But I told her, I said, the missionary's wife is going to be, had luck for her to take some time with you and explain. And she wouldn't leave that table. I put the two of them together. Wow. She just followed this missionary lady around. And then later on during that morning, 3 hours later, during her tea break, she gave her heart to the Lord.
Amen.
That story just happened. And it just reminded me of the multiplied thousands, just like her, that have the same question.
Amen.
That are saying, I wish I could learn more, but I have nobody to ask.
Yeah.
And that's the 1040 region. And that's why I would just challenge you, even as you're watching, to come and have a part and just come alongside and labor together so that we can reach that part of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's what it's all about, souls. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And it's our prayer that this podcast will always encourage you not only to take the right stand, not only to work efficiently in the Lord's work, but to have a greater burden for souls. And thank you for sharing that last story. Thank you for joining with us today. We look forward to being with you again next month. Until then, may God bless you. And be sure to inquire more about Spiritual Leadership Asia. We'll be glad to answer your questions.
If there's a question or topic you would like Pastor Chappell to address in future episodes, send an email to QA@lancasterbaptist.org.